Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. What a show this is going to be. I'm sure that you have all been like waiting with bated breath for this one. As you know, in the promotion, I said I am a huge fan of Discover Channel. And now I've been watching the ads on TV for like the past few weeks. And of course, I'm signing up immediately tomorrow for Discovery Plus. So without further ado, I want to introduce my very special guest this evening, Ian Shive, who is a photographer, a film and television producer, as well as a conservationist. And when I went to his Facebook page, and of course, he's everywhere else, but when I did, I go, oh, my God, I've been watching this fellow. I have seen him on TV and on Facebook and on whatever else, wherever else his videos are. So welcome, Ian, to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's great to be here. And thank you for talking to me and for the great introduction, too. I'm so excited about Discovery Plus as well, and I'm excited that I'm also on that list of things that you said. I keep forgetting to say that I'm a host. I'm hosting television shows. I don't know if host is the right word because it's like an adventure, but
yes, it's a host.
It's another thing on the resume.
Yeah, and also I left out author. I left out author because it wouldn't give me enough space to put it like it's in my
oh, right.
Whatever.
I have to put
author first, author photographer, film and television producer, and now as we are hearing currently host, and do you do your television show or radio show? You have a radio show too?
No radio show. I'm leaving that to you, and you've got that all talent. The talent and the vibe for that. I'll do it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I have not been on television. However, I have been in documentaries, and I am an actor. So I have been in a movie. And anyway, I don't want to talk about me. Getting back to Ian, I am like thrilled because I met Ian through his mom, and we became friends on Facebook. And I asked her to be on because she had some background in this. And then she called me a month later, texted me rather a month later, and said, what about having Ian on? Because all she had to say was Discovery Plus. And I freaked because it's my favorite channel. I'm so excited about Discovery. I don't want any commercials. Thank you very much. And I hope that they stick to their guns and keep it that way. But you have so much to talk about. So I want to ask you, like I said, like who influenced you while you were growing up to becoming like who you are today? Like who really was the major influence in your life growing up as
a
kid?
It's a great question, and it's always a tough one to answer because you always think about it. And I think I had a lot of different influencers that made me who I am today. I think, without a doubt, you know, I'm very close to my parents. They're my best friends, and they and I am definitely their child. Because my dad, was a photographer, started with rock and roll, and my mother's a writer, and my career today is about writing and photography. So clearly, they had a pretty strong influence on me and my career path. I've had a lot of people that I think really struck my imagination. When I was younger, there was a man I worked with. I worked at an old flea market in Englishtown, New Jersey, the old famous Englishtown flea market. And I used to work there when I was a teenager, and it was my first job actually. And the guy that I worked for, his name was, he went by Cheap Frank. And Cheap Frank was just a legend, a great human being and a great person. And he would take his winter months, when he wasn't at the flea market, he would travel the United States and he'd go to national parks. He'd come back and talk about places like Death Valley or, you know, like Zion or Yellowstone and going skiing. And I hadn't done any of those things, really. I had only just seen the Grand Canyon for the first time when I was around 13 years old. I hadn't really been west ever until that moment, west of Philadelphia, for that matter. And so these stories to me were just really like, wow, that exists. A place called Death Valley. Like, you know, you picture, especially in a teenage mind, something, you know, completely different than what it actually ended up being. But it piqued my curiosity. And that combined with just sort of the love of nature that my family instilled in me, really, I think, put me on the path that has culminated into where I am today as an adventurer and producer of nature documentaries and books and things like that.
Right. Right. I want to... that's awesome. And being at the Grand Canyon at 13, I can't really imagine that. There were so many children in my family that we didn't really go on trips like that. Every Sunday, my dad would take us, and we're like seven of us, and my dad would go, okay, everybody in the car, because give my mother a break, you know, from seven children. And we'd go, Daddy, Daddy. I'd go, Daddy, where are we going? And he'd go, down the river, because my dad was a boat builder for 13 years when I was growing up, and then he went into construction and became a construction. He actually was superintendent, and this company became a multi-million-dollar company. So in Asbury Park. So, getting back to you, I wanted to just ask you before we go further with the interview because. However, my studio is a great studio and blog will do all the audio. I'm not hearing you as clearly as I would like to. So, and you're in LA, I know that, and I'm in New Jersey. So I wanted to ask you, are you on a cell phone or a landline?
I only have a cell phone. Yeah, I don't have a landline.
Okay. Do you have the cell phone volume all the way up to 100?
I do.
And are you holding the phone like at a you know?
I'm holding it up
and,
to my ear. Yeah.
Don't hold it to your ear. Hold it in. I hate to tell you what to do. I just was telling a friend. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. But if you hold it flat down and have the bottom of the phone where the voice is goes into the phone, I think that you'll have a better audio. I have to hold my phone up to my ear anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
Is it any better?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
let's
do that.
If you just speak into where the the speakers are, that's better than holding it up to your phone because it's a little bit more direct line. So,
we'll proceed.
Sounds good. It sounds good.
Good.
So, that was a great, you know, that I used to go to English Town because I started collecting antiques when I was 18. And then, so now you'll know I've been to a lot. I've been to the Philly flea markets. I've been to flea markets all over in California. And I like the old car places, the antique cars and stuff too. But I want to talk about you and your progress, like a raise to stardom here, we'll say, being on Discovery Plus. Because I watch all of the shows. As I was had a nice talk with I don't know if he's your assistant or your point person, James, but and then I would talk your ear off too, but I love
James,
those are all my favorite channels. Discovery, PBS, National Geographic. My whole life I had piles of National Geographic magazines. I'm so into learning about our planet, the world, and other worlds as well. So I'm so excited because I've watched some of your videos that you've done, and I'm so excited to get the Discovery Plus and see your premiere, which is March 18th. And
it's on
I'm
demand,
trying
which
to
is great.
Find it.
You know, that's the great, it's on demand, which is the great part. So like, you know, it's on March 18th, but it's not, you know, you can tune in whenever's convenient to you and watch it. That's the best part.
I know it. And that's what's great. And it's called The Last Unknown, and it streams on March 18th, but you're right. You can watch it whenever you want. And that's what's great about, hello, my radio show. My radio show is archived. And it's promoted everywhere, and people can just do a click. That's what I like about it, because they don't have to go to a link. They don't have to follow anything. It's not difficult. They look. They're going to see Ryan Knox at Asbury Park with Ian Shy, and they're going to click, and they're going to listen to it from whatever page they're on, and whether it's on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever, everywhere. So it's wonderful. This technology today is so awesome. And I think what's come out of good with the pandemic is that people are doing so much on Zoom. And like with all of the late night shows that I love too, that I watch, they're all doing Zoom. And people have been connecting. They've been forced to connect that way. And of course, the hosts probably feel a little bit bad. But I just want you to tell me, What was your very first, like, I told you personally that my brother Bobby, who passed away, was a wildlife photographer. My brother Billy,
right,
who just passed away from COVID, was an award-winning photographer. I am an amateur photographer. I've interviewed,
mm-hmm,
Danny Clinch and Frank Stefanko.
Sure.
Frank Stefanko twice. So, you know, and I love photography. So when did you cross the line from doing photography to saying, I want to just go out and really, I want to be a trekker? That's what I call you, a trekker, because you get out there and you walk the talk. I mean, you get in,
yeah,
you get in there into dangerous sometimes situations. So tell us about that. And now I'm going to keep quiet.
Well, I mean, there's been a few different transitions. I mean, first off, I never thought I'd be a photographer. In fact, I explicitly and very vocally said, the one thing I will never be is a photographer. And ironically, you know, and that was because, you know, I saw how hard of a profession it is. I saw how those photographers, people, you know, rock photographers. My dad is you know, a rock photographer. And just like you mentioned with Danny Clinch and Frank Stefanko, also,
mm-hmm,
awesome photographers. But it's a tough business, and I saw that firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And I, well, geez, I don't know. Am I really cut out for that kind of thing? But you know, you can't help what drives you creatively. And ultimately, you know, that desire to create images was instilled in me. And so I decided, okay, first, I'm going to pursue photography, but it's only going to be something I do for myself, and it's going to be a hobby. And it just kind of grew from there. And I started with sort of the most obvious choice of nature photography, which is the national parks. Our national parks are so beautiful and so amazing. And I had a full-time job working in LA, and the only time I had were Saturdays and Sundays. And so I said, well, I've got 2 days. Where am I going to go? And so I went to the national parks. I went to Yosemite. I went to all the great places that exist in California, which is where I moved at a young age. Still as a teenager, 19 years old or so. And I got to L.A. to work and kind of find my way in the movie business. But, you know, when you have only that little bit of time to focus, you want to go to the best place. And the parks just seemed like the best place. They were the obvious place. And I started to build a bit of a reputation of photographing in national parks, but I realized that a lot of my images looked like other people's. It was kind of, you know, I mean, obviously every moment is a little different in nature, but there's only so many times you can see Old Faithful. There's only so many times you can see El Capitan,
right,
and Half Dome photographed from the same spot. And if you still go to Yosemite today, you'll still see all the photographers lined up on a bridge trying to get the reflection,
right,
of Half Dome in Merced River. And I said, I want to go where people haven't been before. And so began,
mm-hmm,
this journey, to answer your question about being a trekker or an adventurer, is that became my goal, to try and show people parts of those same parks that they thought they knew, but they don't. And so I started to focus on the lesser known areas of Yellowstone, and in the process became better and better at my craft, and kept pushing further and further until it just sort of the snowball. And then when I began working as a full-time photographer, so finally I made the leap. I said, I'm going to be a full-time photographer. After 10 years of working at a movie studio, I had a lot of great experience, loved my job, loved the people. And then I said, you know what? My passion is photography. My passion is creating and storytelling, really. Not even photography,
right,
but storytelling, which is,
mm-hmm,
the big defining, I think, characteristic between just being technically good at taking a photograph versus being able to immerse people in the world that you're sharing with them as a storyteller. But I'd made the leap, and I decided to become a photographer full-time. That was already, I don't know, a long time ago, 15 years ago, I think, now. And it just kept going after that same thing, more and more places, you know, trying to show places that people hadn't been before. And inevitably, that territory tends to be wild. It tends to be rugged. You know,
mm-hmm,
I tend to sort of push the envelope and go places where,
right,
people really haven't been before. And that's why the name of this show is so appropriate, because the last unknown, I mean, there's so few places that really are unknown today. Everything's been explored. Everything's on a map. You can get on the internet and zoom in on a satellite and see what something looks like. But there are a lot of places that still exist that are really unknown and unexplored. And so I've made it my passion and my career to share those with people. So inevitably the adventure kind of came with that desire.
It's great. It's just awesome. I mean, like I said, that's my favorite before there. I grew up actually, my father being building boats, one of his favorite shows and favorite explorers was Jacques Cousteau. So I grew up listening to and watching and hearing about Jacques Cousteau. And so I think my father instilled in me some of that, interest in nature. And I was always interested in the outdoors and being outside. I would rather be outside any day, of course, because there were so many darn kids outside. And I was still the girl. Get me out of here, you know? And so from my young age, I was in Asbury Park all over the place. And then we moved to Allenhurst. And I was still always, as far as I could get away. They go, where are you going, Nancy? In the snowstorms, I would be going out the front door. My father would be coming home. He'd go, where the heck? One thing about it is they let us do our thing. I mean, we had to go to parochial school, but they allowed us to, which it sounds to me like you were really, you moved at 19, that's young. You know, I got out at Asbury, and by the way, hello, everybody. Ian is a Jersey boy, a Jersey man, hello, I'm sorry. He's a Jersey guy. He's a Jersey guy, another successful Jersey guy. There's so many creative people that come out of Asbury in this area of Monmouth County and all of New Jersey, the Garden State. We grow them.
Yeah.
We grow them very creative in Jersey.
Yeah, they say Jersey is the Garden State, but it ain't just vegetables that grow. And there's a lot of great talent that's growing in New Jersey and gets plucked and gets placed all over.
Yeah, but ask my brother, the Jersey tomatoes are the best in the world. So, and I had to
That's
grow
true.
Them for him. He comes from Florida, and I grew them on my patio up above the ground, not in the ground. We don't want to talk about me. Getting back to you, because it's easy. Oh, yes, I didn't tell you before. Just interrupt me. When I was being interviewed about my music, 9.5 years ago, they said to me, Nancy, I was on the Joey Reynolds show with my first interview in Manhattan. And I was going to say, maybe that's why we're really creative, too, because, we're so close to New York City, which is the melting pot of the world. You know, we grew up, 45 minutes from Manhattan. But I was out of here, too. 18, 3 days after I graduated high school, I was living in Queens and working in Manhattan at the Getty Building. So I was a natural, wanting to just learn everything about life. I just thought it was the most exciting thing to
That's
be walking in between a million people at lunchtime, or I'm going right
That's
over
the
to
key.
Central Park to the zoo. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to talk about myself, but you have to stop me and interrupt me and just say, hello, Ian.
It's your show. It's
yeah, but
show.
No, but I know it is. But I don't want to talk all the time, and I talk too much. I have my chatter teeth here. Did you ever see them, the chatter teeth? They're plastic.
I have, of course. I think I had.
Yeah, and you wind them up and they make noise. Yeah, well, they don't even keep me quiet. Nothing keeps me quiet. So looking at them, they don't, I just go, oh, they're funny. But so, all right, so listen, I saw one of your videos. I think you went to Cuba and it had something to do, was it to do with sharks?
So that's where it is, So my career with Discovery began with Shark Week. And so I was working actually with the Nature Conservancy a long time ago, long before Cuba even started to have normalized relations with the Obama administration. I had gone down there as part of some work that was being done on conservation efforts. And my eyes were open to this incredible underwater ecosystem that exists there. And I went to their national park, actually, the Jardines de la Mariana Garden, and it was just filled with sharks, silky sharks and all kinds of sharks that we were photographing underwater there, and beautiful, beautiful elkhorn corals, and it was just so bright blue and warm, and the people are amazing, and the scientists are doing incredible work. And so I pitched it to Discovery along with my business partner Mark Summers, who's also sort of a legend of television with hosting Double Dare, which I grew up watching, and so it's always really crazy to say, oh, this is my producing partner now,
that is great, Double Dare,
and he's just been such a great believer in my work all these years, but
anyway, we went in and we pitched the show, and Discovery was like, wow, can you really get us into Cuba? And we said, yeah, I think we can. And so lo and behold, we managed to be the first commercial production to ever take place in Cuba. And that led to pre-embargo. And then the show is still one of the most popular shows on Discovery's Shark Week. They air it every year. They air it a couple times. And now, of course, you'll be able to start watching all that stuff on demand. But
right.
That really introduced me to Discovery and introduced me to television. And then, the show we have now is that's coming out, The Last Unknown, is going to be obviously it's a monumental effort, a filming effort. But we also have a Discovery series, Nature and Focus. It's a streaming series. So it's just discovery.com/Nature and Focus. And people can actually go there and see like short windows, like short episodes of different things that I've been doing, including even some stuff, we had like Comet Neowise that just came through, and I went out to try and photograph it close to home and all those kinds of things. And so, it's been a relationship that is continuously growing and evolving. And, it's awesome. And it's so crazy because it's like I watched Discovery as a kid. You know, it's like all these things that you grow up with, and then you realize you get an adult that this can be part of your life. You know, you can actually do that if you want to and you set your mind to and you work towards it. And so it's crazy. And I think a lot of my approach to how I tell stories is, a lot of the stuff that I first fell in love with Discovery all those years ago, that's the kind of television I wanted to make. You know, I wanted to make really great television, really great shows, take people on adventures where they go, wow, and really blow their mind with what the natural world and wildlife can be. And so that's the role that I'm in today with all of it. But yeah, it began all those years ago in Cuba, which was already, I think, I'm trying to remember how long ago. It must have been like 5 or 6 years ago, something like that.
I want to say that when you said that about the people being so wonderful, I'm a big documentary watcher. And last year, the library is right around the corner from me, West Longbranch Library, and I purchased 100 documentaries. And I also had the opportunity, I was literally supposed to go with the mayor, Ed Johnson, and my girlfriend, Beverly Beveridge, I'll give her a shout out. She's the PR person for Atlantic City, for all the casinos and for everything in Atlantic City. And she's just does it. So there, Southside Johnny and myself and a bunch of other artists were supposed to go with Ed Johnson to Cuba. And then some things fell through as far as like the financial end, which that happens. So they did go. So only a few people were able to go. They couldn't take as many people as they wanted to. So only a few people were able to go. But I also promoted, though. I promoted, of course, the event, them going to Cuba. I had, of course, Ed Johnson on my show, Beverly on my show many times. She's been on too many times. No, sorry, Beverly, it's okay. But anyway, she's the most guest of all time. She manages to do it. She's not one of my best friends. But and she does so many things. But getting back to Cuba, I did, in fact, there was a photographer who was just a photographer, not like you, but a photographer of like different countries and things like that. And she would tell stories. She was asked in Cuba to do, and I'm not going to remember what they call them. Maybe you remember. They don't call them restaurants. They have them right in their own homes. And you go into the home. Well, she was asked to do a cookbook. So I did. So, I'm going to be beating myself up that I can't remember her name now, but I did a whole radio show with her, and it's called Taste of Cuba. And she went all over Cuba into all of the different places and all about the culture and the foods. And I was eating Cuban food when I worked up in Manhattan. I lived in Weehawken. So I love all different Vietnamese food. I'm like into anything to do with anywhere in the world, I want to know about it. I'm just a very curious person, and I want that knowledge. And so I applaud you, and I appreciate what you're doing. And before I forget, that link that you mentioned a little while ago, I'd like to put that right down now, because this show, once we're finished, it goes in about 5 minutes up, and I post it on a few pages, and then I do the major promo all over again.
Oh, amazing.
So I want to put that link, that link that you're telling me about, I want to put that in, you know, the
interview
promo.
It's a great link because it takes you to everything. It's discovery.com. Discovery.com/nature in focus.
Discovery.com/nature in focus. FOCUS. Okay, I got it. And so if they go
and
there,
they can learn, and they can learn more about the show too. It's there's discovery.com/thelastunknown, which is more about the show. But the nature in focus will get you to all of it anyway. It all gets you there.
All right, better just put that one in, because then I'm going to put in again, talk about more, be sure to do the 18th, and then on the 18th that day I will go online and I will do a big, like a mini promo, and stick it out there on all the news stations and all the important, you know, the biggies, the big, everybody's important, don't get me wrong, I don't mean it that way, but I can't do a full-on promo on the 18th because I have another show to promote for the 25th this month. Anyway, a lot going on for me. In fact, I'm so happy to have you on, but I was just getting ready, and so last night I had the bright idea. I go, I can't hold off on promoting my new release that I just put out, which is awesome. I'll give myself a plug. I just did a song with a prodigy, and the song is called Something Was Wrong, and it's all about this entire year. And it's so upbeat and positive and fabulous.
Oh,
and
cool.
But I don't want to, I know about producing and production, and I don't want to inundate my name everywhere with too much going on. So, but what I did was I private messaged it to everybody, to all of my people that are in the music business, that, you know, like Mike Appel and like all of these people, you know, Bruce Springsteen's producer, and I'm going to get it out to the UK and Japan and everything. And I can do that like under the, what do you call it? Like under the, nobody else has to know about it but you. Oh, and whoever's listening to my show, which is everybody. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. But
that's cool.
And I'm so happy because I have the montages with Clarence Clemens, my friend. He was my friend. And so the montage of the song is him, and then it will show my single, me, and then it goes on, and it's got Bruce, and it's just, it's awesome. I have to send it to you. I'll send it to yourself.
I told James I'd send it to him, too.
But anyway, getting back to you and this the show. So now Shark, I've always been, of course, like I said, Jacques Cousteau, but I like the scary Shark movies, too. I have to admit that I do like to watch some horror films in addition to nature. Like, I'm a real TV buff, period. I'm really into movies. Unless, the only thing I can't watch and I don't like is, and I know that you don't do much of that, but I can't watch the films. And I know that people, you know, that it's just part of nature. But I always have to look away or turn it off when animals are, like, eating other animals, because I'm too sensitive for that. So, I kind of watch the Outback stuff, like the Alaska shows, and where they do this setting. And I know they have for their food and stuff, but I try to I'll look away when it comes to that. I'll watch the wild fishing ones when they do all the crabbing, you know, catch the crabs and the Alaskan king crab and all that. Those things are, you know, I mean, I can watch that because we need that, you know, to eat. But I'm definitely not into, I can't, like, I'm an animal activist, so I cannot get into anything that would harm an animal for sport. That is like a no-no.
That's understandable.
And I'm verbal. I try to be really not controversial at all, but I've been in radio so long now that I thought, you know what, Nancy, sometimes you just have to break your own rules. And I guess with this being isolated for a whole year with COVID, I think people are being a little bit more, thinking about, well, wait a minute, that's not right. You know, that's just not right. And so that's why I appreciate so much what people like you are doing, because those are the types of that I am most interested in is educational and conservational. And I, by the way, I belong to the Sierra Club, and so I,
oh, good.
I was a camper like my whole, pretty much most of my life, and three miles into the woods, you know, nowhere is land, not, just as far away as I could be. So, you know, one day that's my brother's got 8 acres up in Vermont, but he passed away now, so. They'll probably
right.
sell that, but I love being out in nature. I just it's just always been my thing. So
yeah.
one day
yeah.
maybe I'll be able to do a little more traveling. I've been to Ireland and I drove cross country back from California to New Jersey. So I got to take off and go off in Texas. I went on to Route 66, and that was the coolest. I thought, oh, my God, I'm back in the old West. I said, am I ever going to get out of Texas? Because I was on 40. I go, am I ever going to get out of Texas? Holy moly.
I know. I drove across Texas a few times, and it's unbelievably large, but it's such a cool state. I mean, as somebody, I did a project for Discovery that takes place in Big Bend National Park, Texas, and it was right before COVID hit, and it was so much fun, and it's such a beautiful state, and there's always more there to explore. Like, as it's so big, it's a lot like California in that way, that you just feel like you could
right.
always find someplace new to go and to photograph and to explore, but yeah, it's a great state, but it's a big one if you're trying to drive across.
Oh yeah, but you know what? With the Sierra Club, the only thing I didn't do was the snow camp out, and you were supposed to do that.
Oh yeah,
you know, but you didn't have to. But I said no, I don't think I want to build an igloo, and I don't want to sleep out in the snow. But I did everything else, and Joshua Tree was one of my favorite places. Because at nighttime,
yeah.
even, I mean, talk about crazy adventures. At nighttime,
there.
I'm going, we have this big fire going, and we're looking, and it was freezing at nighttime. And me, like,
yeah.
I didn't bring a low pup tent. I bought, like, my four-man pup tent with me, and it's just me. And it was so stupid because I was freezing to death because it gets so cold in the desert at night. And the daytime is great. But all of a sudden, we're looking, I'm going, what is going on? Because it was a famous place for the rock climbers, and they're out there climbing the rocks at night with the things on their foreheads. You know, I mean, it's like what?
I know.
Are
Isn't
they,
it amazing?
You
know? Yeah,
you better have
awesome.
Good shoes on. You'd be that's like to me. That's really
yeah.
risky. I don't think I'd be doing that. But anyway, so when you know, I admire people like you. Like I will not do that. Oh, and the Naked and Afraid. No,
I won't do that
no,
either.
It's a good show, but
I'm not doing it.
Who puts that on? Is that just that?
I'm gonna be clothed and happy. That's my show. Clothed and happy.
Clothed and happy. Oh, that's
clothed.
Yeah,
yeah. Dressed. Fully dressed.
Clothed
and happy. I can't do Naked and Afraid. That just sounds terrible.
Yeah, I like prepared and happy too. I like prepared. Like I was always prepared when I went camping. I always had the greatest food. We always had the greatest food, even though we went 3 miles into the woods up in upper state New York and everywhere. We would stay there for like a week and a half. It was like awesome. I just loved it.
Cool.
I loved it. I just miss it. I miss it. I have that. Well, I'm a Sagittarius, so I'm in the Archer, and I'm like, I just have that what do they call it, wanderlust. And so
sure.
when I can watch Discovery TV and programs like that, it takes me totally out of myself and out of everything that's going on in the world. And I live right up against the woods. So, like, sometimes I'll look up out and I'll have two big deer. Like, I have female deer on my patio. You know, I live right up against the woods and I love it
sure.
because I see so much of nature. And anyway, getting back to you. Oh, my goodness gracious. So it just gets – I get too excited. I get too excited.
Well, that's good,
I
though. I'm glad I get you excited. That's good. If I was boring and you didn't like any of it, then that wouldn't be any fun.
No, I don't – no, I only have – I have the greatest people on my radio show. I don't think – I can't tell you – I have not had one show in all these years – one show. There was maybe one show, and it was an entertainer, and I don't know what if he maybe he had a bad day, and I would of course never say who it was, but and I felt bad, you know, I felt bad, and then I asked, I said, you know, will you come on another time, you know, come on another time, because it just was, I don't know, but actually there were two that I'm thinking of,
you gotta do what we
and
enjoy.
The other person was really frustrated, they got lost. Because it was when I was in with Hamilton Radio. They're the number one radio station for maybe 25 years now. And they're marrying up in the UK and all over the world. And so I was with them, but I didn't want to drive to Trenton. I didn't want to drive two hours a night. And I was doing 3-4 shows a month. It was getting too much. And all for free and for fun, of course, and too, because I started with the idea of not-for-profits. So my not-for-profits are the most really so important to me. And then it just took off. It took off like crazy with all other musicians because I'm a musician. And then I was promoting my – and I just threw my album to the side. I told your mom, I said, oh, my God, I have a whole album to promote. And Don Harrington was my lead guitarist, who was Steely Dan. So, like, get ready, folks out there, because my rockabilly is going to be in Japan and UK and all over the world. So that's going to be a real trip for me. Like you talk about like timing and everything kind of like, you know, you don't know, you have an idea of what you want to do. But, you know, like I never, ever would think that I would be an award nominated radio show host, you know, for like 3 years in a row. With national radio stations. I would never almost fell off my chair. A friend called me and said, hey, Nancy, congratulations. I go, for what? Well, they go, well, look at this link. And I looked at it and I almost fell off my chair because, you know, I just didn't expect it really. So, and then I told them anyway, I should win because I have my own category. I'm the only live talk radio show. And they throw me in with all the DJs. They throw me in with all the people that play music. Now, I did play music for the first 2.5 years, but I haven't since. So I think I should win. So whoever's listening out there, my friends at the St. Scott, no, he's not the one. It's voted on, you know, the public votes on it. So, okay, public friends. Go ahead, nominate me. Anyway, hey, I want to do a shout out and a thank you to Bruce while we're on a subject. Thank you, Bruce. And Bruce is all, not Bruce, because, well, Bruce, yes, Bruce, because it's your pages, but his admins. Because Bruce's admins for the past 3.5 years have been putting all of my radio shows on their pages, Italy and I think in Spain and Croatia. And Ireland.
Incredible.
And all over the United States on about 20 or 22 group pages. And I thank them so much because my shows are really good. And you know, a lot of them, most of them have nothing to do with Bruce Springsteen, but it has to do with a lot of Bruce Springsteen's interests and the people that are fans of his.
Well,
so thank you.
And I'm connected to Bruce, even though I'm not, it's not direct, but
I grew up
Freehold is my hometown too, and then my mom runs her Facebook page, Born to Read, and my dad was a Bruce Springsteen photographer in the early days. So yeah, maybe it's the Bruce connection, right?
Yes,
it's the
definitely.
Bruce connection.
And I met Bruce my brother was a lead guitarist with Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Rockers. Before that, he was asked to be with Bruce, but didn't go with Bruce. He was going to have another baby, and it was his choice. He chose his family over fortune and fame. And he did go on, and he was more of a jazz blues guitarist, bless his soul. I still am not, I mean, I know he's not here on earth, but he's in my heart, and I really miss him. But my brother Billy was the lead guitarist with the James Cotton Blues Band, and he toured with them for 1.5 years. And then he went on with Clarence. So I met Clarence in my early 30s, and I met Bruce at the grand opening of Big Man West. And so I've known Bruce and run into Bruce, and I asked him to be on my show once, and he was really interested in it. And then I go, forget it, Bruce. You're way too big to come on my show. Now, that was a big mistake. and then Gary Talent sent me an email. Hey, Gary, out there, anytime you want. I'm waiting for you now. But he sent me an email. Hey, Nancy, can you do a show for me? And I go, when? And he goes, tomorrow night. I said, Gary, I can't even promote it. Come on. You know. But then later I thought, you silly, you should have done it anyway and just promoted the interview. In fact, you know what?
Yeah.
Your show might be the last show. I might as well announce this now. Your show probably to my listeners, and then I want you to talk more because, we're getting in on time here. This show probably will be the last show that I will do a full-on huge promotion because it is so time-consuming. And I love doing it, but I really, it's my time to promote my album that I have invested my entire life in. I'm a troubadour. I've been singing in Asbury Park. When I sang in a choir in grammar school, I sang on the streets of Asbury my whole life. I sang in piano bars in Asbury. I sang in California. I've been singing my whole life. And I made this great album and then just put it on the shelf. And so I really want to, it's my time to promote my music and record. So, well, my radio show, but I'm just going to get back to, like I told you, I'm only doing one show a month. And I'm always having people ask me, so I'll do one show a month, but it will go Ryan Rossett with, and it will tell this person's name, and it will tell them what they do, and it will have their contact information. So everyone can do their own, they can Google, they can research, and then they can listen to the show. And then I'll promote the show, of course, I'll promote it, the interview worldwide, like I do all my shows, and it will be archived. But it's just, I got to cut back on the time. I have to promote myself. So back to you, Ian. Oh, I bet you are so excited for the 18th, March 18th. It's on
my
calendar.
Gosh. Of course I am.
So I'll
get
up. I'll get up about 12 because I'm up all night. And 12 o'clock at noon, my time, Eastern Standard Time, I'll put up a big and bold letters. And to get ready.
That's awesome.
And tomorrow, tomorrow, I'm calling my Comcast and getting my I don't even know if I can just do it on my TV. I have a smart TV.
Yeah,
everything.
You can just do it, you do it like either through, you could just download the app or depending on how you use your TV. But, I don't even think you can get it. I'm not sure, actually, about how the cable providers fit in. But I'm sure it's different for everybody a little bit.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably real easy. But I have a smart TV and a business laptop and an iPhone and so it's all connected, everything's connected together, and I could probably just go down and click on Discovery Plus, and it will just be there. And then, it will go to my, everything gets paid automatically. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. If I have to make a phone call, I'll do it because I want to get on as soon as possible because I'm watching the show.
No, it's going to be great. Yeah. Well, March 18th is a great day to do it if you're going to do it. It feels like, it feels like a holiday, It feels like a holiday because it's such a, special event,
Yeah. Well, I don't really celebrate. I mean, St. Patty's Day, nobody's going. Well, some people will be out, but I don't do the parades anymore. I used to follow the parade and really promote the parade in Asbury Park and do all the photographs and do all that. But I stopped doing that a few years ago. I'm getting up there. I still have a lot of energy, but it's just I want to focus my energy on.
You would never know.
Well, I was asked to be in more movies and didn't do it because of it. Well, it's the humidity in New Jersey. I was offered a really good movie in New York, and I would have to travel to New York and to there I go about myself again. So anyway, I want to do some more movies too, and so. I have other things that I want to do that are going to put a call. So
good.
You're the last big, my big last star. You're my discovery
well, I appreciate
plus
it.
Star.
Honored. Very honored. And thank you.
I am so, I was so excited when your mom told me, I was so happy for because I love your mom. She's great. She's just great. We've been kind of like texty friends, and then she'll put hearts on my stuff, and I put hearts on hers, and we just kind of got this friendship going on, and she's just a great woman. I just really liked her, and when she told me about your opportunity, I said, we got to do it. We have to do it. I said, wait, I already have a show this month, and then I said, oh no, I'm going to do it. So.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
So where are you now, anyway? Are you on? Are you on site? Are you working today?
I am working today. Yeah, I'm getting back out in the fields here shortly. But I am. I'm in California though. I'm about 4 hours north of Los Angeles, sort of in the Central Coast area of California.
Mhm. I love California.
It's actually while we're doing this, while we're talking, it started to hail. So I'm like standing here trying to hold the best signal I can. I made sure I was in a good spot so we could talk and have a good clear communication. But it literally just started hailing here, and I'm like, wow, it's because it's actually kind of chilly. It's a little chilly.
Wow. I'll tell you what. So you're outdoors all the time. You're not even indoors.
I am. No, I'm not even indoors.
it's what?
I said I'm never indoors. That's my job. Like I'm never indoors. I'm always outdoors. I love it. I love being outside. I love the fresh air. You know, even if it's not working, you know, I love just being outside, and it's just, you know, I feel like
it's the most. It's a good place to be, especially when it's away from automobiles and noise.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I can't stand.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but, like, and the older I get, the grouchier I get about noises and sounds, and thank God I don't hear any cars or anything like that, but, like, I could never live in Manhattan or in a big city. I couldn't, but, it looks like, let me see, I don't know, we have a little more time. Is there anything else you want, you know, when I promote the show, is there anything else you want me to say in the interview promo?
No, I mean, I think we've covered it. I mean, I think, you know, just sending people to the links and talking about the date, and then, you know, just this is the adventure, you know, really the adventure of a lifetime, and going into, you know, Alaska's Aleutian Islands. I mean, like, everyone thinks, oh, I know what Alaska is, and they equate it with, you know, maybe the Arctic or Denali National Park or the Kenai Peninsula, but this chain, this archipelago that swings off out towards Russia deserves the attention that we're giving it, because it is such a magnificent place. The wildlife spectacles, I mean, they're so, I've never seen anything like it. Millions and millions of seabirds, hundreds of thousands of northern fur seals. I mean, it's just, you know, active volcanoes. I mean, it's really, you know, it was an unbelievable undertaking, but it's an unbelievable adventure to watch too.
It sounds like it is, like, mind-blowing. I'm a 60s generation person. You don't need any additional things, you know, it's like what nature does for me. It's like, oh, you know what? It opens your senses, your eyes, not only your eyes.
It opens everything,
your senses,
yeah.
Your smell,
yes,
your hearing. You can hear
that's
every
right.
bird. You can hear. It, like, opens up. You feel so alive. I mean, just talking to you and doing your show, it's like, just it just brought me back to all of my times in the woods, in the mountains, where it was so beautiful. Getting into a freezing, freezing waterfall, like into the pond, like low, the waterfall where it's freezing, but, and you have the doctor, what was that, pepper, whatever, I don't know. It's like they make it in California. It's some kind of a soap that you can use, and you wash your whole body with it. You can wash dishes with it. What the heck was that called? I always forget. My daughter always reminds me. But anyway, it's a special kind of soap that you use in the wild, that you use that's biodegradable and not bad for the streams and the rivers.
Yeah.
I forget the name.
I don't even bother. I just stay dirty when I'm out there.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, well, I'm a woman. Believe it or not, when I would camp, sometimes, like, I'm very fair. So I had, like, and I would camp with my boyfriend, and we'd camp out with a bunch of other crazy campers. And so, like, in the evenings, like, we would have these big parties. We'd have, like, Led Zeppelin blasting. And I would, like, have to, like, put my mascara on and my eyeshadow and a little blush and fix my hair and put on a nice shirt, you know, because that's who I am. Literally, this is what I did before the show. You got a lot of talk out there. And I watched all the Alaska movies, by the way. I watched them.
Oh,
I've been watching them for years. So, and I go, are those people crazy? I would freeze to death. But anyway, you know, building your own houses and having the sleds, the dogs. Oh, my gosh. They're something else, those people that do that. But anyway,
Yeah, you're right about Alaska, though, it's the ultimate. It really is the ultimate adventure. So, but I appreciate you talking to me today. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. I have always wanted to go to Alaska. I know they have a lot of bears in town and a lot of bears there, but yeah, it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, the shows that I have watched, and I can't watch this upcoming show. It's going to be really spectacular, I'm sure, watch it.
The Last Unknown, March 18th on Discovery Plus.
Yes, and it's your premiere. It's your premiere, and it's a brand new channel, and it's a new day and a new you, and it's awesome, Ian. Congratulations again. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And I'm so glad that your mom reached out to me and asked me to have you on, because it is just such an honor to have you on the show. And I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. And it means so much that you're willing to help get the word out, help promote it. I mean, nothing is done alone. And really, you know, when we are able to do things like this and you share it with your audience, you're part of the journey. You know, this is part of the journey of making a show. And so in many ways, we're sort of doing it together. So thank you so much again for talking to me today and for sharing it with your audience. It's incredible. And I hope everybody enjoys it and that it lives up to all the expectations.
Oh, well, I'm sure it will. I've even seen, you know, I in the promo, you know, that you sent me, which is almost identical to what I would have done, is like unbelievable. I mean, so this is going to be really great.
Awesome. Thank you again.
I'm with you all the way. I wish you, this is just the beginning. I mean, the name, The Last Unknown, you're going to be doing so many Last Unknowns. This is just, and you know that. I mean,
there's a lot of them. There's a lot of
them. And it's just going to be outrageous. I mean, it's just going to be outrageous because there's so much in the world to explore, like you said. I mean, there's so many places still that have not been explored. But yeah, I'm really excited. I have to just go watch a major film now to chill out. And anyway, if I was a little weird, guys, it's because I got my shot yesterday, my first shot. I didn't want to get it, but my doctor insisted. So my doctor said you must get it because of my age, and I do have severe asthma. So she insisted, so I did it. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up and talk about my not-for-profits. And thank you again for being an awesome guest.
Thank you.
The sound was great. It was great. And I don't know what else to say. Thank you, Anne.
That's it.
I'm sure your mom is listening.
I'm sure she will.
And, all right. Good.
Thank you so much,
Dan.
Yeah. Take care.
You're welcome.
And thank you. I look forward to playing it and sharing it with everybody, too. Thank you again.
And thanks to James, too. It was nice. I had a nice chat with him.
Right.
And
Get
out. Go get some a sweater on if you're in the hail.
Yeah.
I'm sure you want to get off the phone.
All right. I'm going to go warm up.
Bye-bye, Ian. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, well, that was the inside. And, I do talk, don't I? I talk. I don't think it matters if I get a vaccine or not, if I have chocolate or not. It doesn't matter what I do. I would have to hire an assistant to stand behind me with a ruler. You know, I went to parochial school. I'd have to have somebody behind me with a ruler to hit me over the head or something to remind me to stop, you know, or give me an electrical shock or something to remind me, hey, Nancy, keep quiet. Would you please let your guest talk more? But no, Ian did get to talk a lot. I know. I remember vaguely at the beginning, I talked a little, and then I really was very quiet. I must have been quiet for at least 15 minutes. So anyway, that's it for me. that's it. I just have to really talk about my not-for-profits now, and I have my list right here. It was a wonderful show, and everybody, tune in. Discovery Plus on March 18th, Thursday night. It is going to be absolutely awesome. And you can watch it whenever you want because it's going to be archived for all time. That's the best part of it, and no commercials. Hooray! Okay, so my not-for-profits are, and I always mention them even though they have kind of retired, but I'm still going to give them a shout-out because they're such wonderful people, Karen and Gregory Nixon, which did Helping Hands of New Jersey for so many years, and they help so many people, and they're the kind of people we need today. And actually, I'm going to give a shout-out, too, where I went yesterday. I went yesterday to the Parker Family Health Center in on Shrewsbury Avenue in Red Bank, New Jersey. Anyone out there that's listening to this show that needs to get a vaccine, call them up. I think I remember their number by heart, 732-212-0777. It's totally volunteer clinic. They have doctors and nurses that give the vaccine. They were so prompt and professional. I was in and out of there in a half an hour, and 15 minutes of it was sitting to make sure I didn't have a reaction to the vaccine. So that is, I'm really glad came to my mind because I'm a little scattered today. I had a little bit of a reaction last night that kind of gave me a little scare, but thank God I had some medication to take for it. So anyway, here we go. Back to my, anybody, like I said, the Parker Family Health Center in Red Bank. Call them up. You can register right on the phone. All they want to know is your age and your phone number, and they'll put you on their list. Okay. Minister Steve Brigham, my good friend for 9 years, over 9 years now. He was with the 10th City of Lakewood. He is with the Lakewood Outreach Ministry, and now it's actually Destiny's Bridge, and you can find him on under Steve Brigham, Minister Steve. I think it just says Steve Brigham, but he is an ordained minister for 20 years, and he is the minister for the homeless, and he is just an awesome man, and he does so much, and he can always use help, whether it's your time, talents, contributions, whatever you can do. Art Ackerman, City of Angels Recovery Radio, great radio show about recovery. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes in New Jersey. These are all really, I mean, they've all but one been on my radio show. The next one is the one that has not been on my radio show because it changed. I had the original person, but now it's Kim Guidango, and she is actually our former lieutenant governor. And she, it used to be called the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean County, but now it's called Fulfill, F-U-L-F-I-L-L. And so they support all of the food banks all over the state of New Jersey. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TOPAC, T-O-P-A-C, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. And this is really another great, great organization that is trying to get all of the police, all of everyone equipped with Narcan to help people that are like overdosing. And Lord knows that we have an epidemic with some very serious drugs out there. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and the 60s, you know, had their drugs. But today, it's a scary thing. That's actually a lyric from one of my songs, Makes the World a Scary Place. Yeah, I won't give you the full lyrics, but the drugs that are available out there today, and even on the internet for free for kids to go where their parents don't even know it and get these drugs that can kill them with one pill, is very epidemic. So TOPAC is a great agency. They all need help because these are all not-for-profits, 503C profits, and they've all been on my radio show except for Pat. I'd like to have Kim on my show one day. We'll see. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur. Wonderful musician, wonderful guy, does so much with Holiday Express. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission on Memorial Drive in Asbury Park. They also have an excellent, excellent thrift shop there. And it's just right on Memorial Drive. It's one of the biggest thrift shops I've ever seen. And they take, during the week, they take donations. So if you are cleaning out your house or moving or you have anything you want to donate, your time, your talents, your money, whatever it is, they do so much for people. I can't even get into all of it. So those are my not-for-profits. I do have a few sponsors, and I barter with them if I need them. And so one is a dentist. His name is Dr. Ronald Chicklin, and he's on Sunset Avenue in Ocean, New Jersey. He's a wonderful dentist. He's also got another, and he does implants as well. And he also has another office up in North Jersey. So you can find him, you know, he's you can find him, just Google him and you'll find him. Dr. David Marin, he's a chiropractor. And he is the owner of the Marin Wellness Center. They used to be in Shrewsbury, but now they moved over to, I believe it's in Eatontown. I have to update my information, but they're also, they have, I think they're on Facebook, and you can just Google him, the Marin Wellness Center. They have great physical therapist doctors there. They have an acupuncturist. Excuse me. Had a tickle in my throat since the shot. That's one of my, well, maybe asthma, maybe a little allergy, I don't know. And my last wonderful doctor that is a sponsor of Ryan Moxley Athletic Park Style is Dr. George C. Peck, and it's the Peck Center. And he's in West Orange, and he is one of the best plastic and reconstructive surgeons. His brother is also a surgeon, and their father was a surgeon as well. And I wish I could say, well, I could go and like look like I'm 40 again, but that's not why I saw Dr. Peck. So I saw Dr. Peck for an accident that I had. It was a really bad accident that injured my nose. So I had a serious injury. And so I've seen him several times for that kind of fixing my nose. So anyway, that's it. I'm going to say goodnight. Stay safe and stay healthy. I'm going to even do a little preaching on my own here, everybody, because I'm trying to really chill. I've been isolating for a long time because I am at risk because of my age, because of my severe asthma, and it is what it is, and we have to deal with this pandemic. Just respect each other, please. Everyone just respect each other. Everyone's stressed out. Everybody's got, you know, a lot of people are suffering out there. So it's time for us to do what we can do to help each other and be more kind. I guess that's what I've been seeing on Facebook a lot, is to be kind, like in your whatever comments that you make. Be kind to people because you never know what people are going through. And lastly, I want to say to my brother Billy that I love you and I miss you, and I will miss you until we meet again. So good night, everyone. Have a nice evening. This is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Mox at Asbury Park Style, signing off for the night. Bye-bye.